Good morning, everyone. This is a lot different than even Zoom, so there's no interaction, but that's okay. We just send it out there, and by faith, we know that everybody is there and receiving from the Lord. I hope you guys are all safe. I'm looking out my window. My branches are touching the ground, so it almost seemed like it wasn't going to be a big snow, but it came. It was a little late, just like for church. It was a little late, so I'm glad we made the decision to stay home so that everybody can be safe. Today, I've got a special kind of message for us, and it was interesting how it happened. In my own kind of personal study time, I ran across a section of text in 1 Samuel, and something struck me. And so we're going to do a teaching on that today, along with some of the events and kind of things that are going on in people's lives. I think this is going to be very practical. Now, let's talk for just a moment about different teaching styles. We teach what I call contextually. It's contextual preaching. And what that means is we teach line upon line, verse upon verse, precept upon precept, chapter by chapter. We go through the book and we pick up the Word of God in context. Okay, the pros of that is we really develop a deep understanding of God's Word. The other pro is we can't miss anything. We can't pick and choose verses, because when we come across verse 10 after finishing verse 9, we have to continue on. Some of the kind of, if you want to call them problems, I don't want to call them problems, but if you do want to call them problems with that, is it can drag it out. And so you can very surfacely teach contextually, or you can go very deep contextually. We kind of ride the middle, sometimes going on the deeper side. And so as we've been in the book of Acts forever, seems like, you know what that's all about. We kind of forget there's other books in the Bible. Another way to teach is topically. And what that is you choose a topic and you explore all kinds of different verses and references according to that topic. So maybe money, finances. And so we look up all the various different verses within the Bible that talk about finances, and we would develop some kind of application from there. A topic can be endless. What we're going to do today is what I call principle teaching. Let me go back to topical. So one of the dangers with topical teaching is you can take things out of context. You can manipulate the verses to kind of make them say what you want to say. You can use certain verses to prove your point and certain verses to not prove your point, vice versa. So topical can be a little dangerous in the fact that it can be misused. And if you don't properly understand the Word of God, then you can't properly apply it. Contextually teaching kind of removes that, because it's hard to take something out of context when you're reading verses before and after that particular verse that you're reading. All right, so now, there is a place for topical teaching. We do it every once in a while. Just not a fan of it personally, unless the call, you know, arises. And so I like the going through the whole Bible. That way I can join Paul and say, you know, I have not declared the entire Word of God to you. Okay, the next one that we're going to do today is what I call principle teaching. So it's a little different than topical in the fact that we pull a principle out of a story or out of an illustration, and we learn how we can take the principle, take the idea, and apply it to our lives. Again, the danger of this is that you can misappropriate the verses. If you take them out of context, you can misapply them. The other thing is really deep Bible scholars will say, well, that's not the point of the text. You can kind of consider this like a parable. Jesus used an earthly example to to express a heavenly truth. Not saying that principal teaching is parables, so we don't want to misconstrue that. But we're going to take an example of a story in the Bible, and we're going to apply some principles to it. And so the section of text that I've chosen is out of 1 Samuel, and it is in chapter 17. You're very familiar with this story. And it says, "Now the words of David which spoke were heard," just kind of give you an update to what's going on. David's brothers are out to war. His father sends David with some food for not only his brothers, but also for the commanders. And so he goes out there and he delivers his food, and then he sees that the army is being challenged by this Philistine, and everybody's kind of afraid of him. Obviously, we know that that is Goliath. And so he's questioning, he's saying, "Why are you guys afraid? What's going on? Where's your faith?" And so he speaks these words. So that's what we're picking up in verse 31. "Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul," which would be King Saul, "and sent for him. And then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against a Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth and a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock. I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover,' David said, 'the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.' And so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to the armor and tried to walk, and he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them.' So David took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from a brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And then he drew near to the Philistine." And we're going to pause there because I believe everybody knows the result of the story. David obviously slings a rock at Goliath and takes him out. See, the whole army, even though they had the promises of God, even though they had all this history of God delivering them, was standing in front of a giant, and they were all afraid. And so today's principal teaching is, what do you do when you're facing your giant? And the important thing is, and we'll pull this contextually out and use it and apply the principles. Now we can get into the whole debate. Well, he had 5 stones because Goliath had 4 brothers and all of that. And, you know, we're just going to put all that aside right now. We're just going to look at the principles here and how we can personally apply what David did when we come across our giants. And so let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for keeping us all safe. We ask that you continue to do so as the storm continues to just rain down upon us or snow down upon us. And Lord, we just ask that you would just be with us and teach us and lead us and guide us, speak to our hearts, grow us, grow our faith, grow our church, Lord, and make us strong warriors for God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so notice what David did. There's 2 things. First of all, he was ready to face his giant. Okay, the second thing is, as soon as he said, "I'm going to go," Saul said, "Here's my armor." A lot of times when we run into a position of facing a giant, we have everybody trying to put on their armor for us. So they're trying to give us, hey, this is what works for me. This is how I do it. This is what you need to do. And notice what David said. He says, you know, I have a hard time with that because I haven't tested the stuff you gave me, right? I haven't tried it out. And David was just a kid, and Saul was a big man. And so David, being a kid, trying to carry this chain mall and this big helmet and probably covered his eyes and he couldn't move, he says, this isn't going to work for me. Sometimes when we get into a position where we're going against something, whatever it is, we've got all these people wanting to put on their helmets on our heads, wanting to do the things that they do. And we're like, wait a second, I haven't tested that. Part of the problem with that is you're already battling faith because you're already struggling with the fear of the giant. And now I've got to walk this out in something that I'm not used to using. And so what does David do? He says, you know what, forget all that stuff. And sometimes we need to do that when people are giving us advice, you know, hey, I'm facing my giant. Maybe it's, you know, a financial situation, a physical situation, a sickness, you know, whatever it may be, a relationship issue, spiritual warfare in our home. And everybody's like, hey, try this, try that, do this, do that. And we're like, you know, that doesn't fit. And so what does David do? He goes down, he goes to the creek, and he picks out 5 smooth stones. 5 smooth stones that he is familiar with. And it seems impossible. You're facing this giant with this big sword, with, you know, has been a warrior since he was a kid, and you got rocks. But here's the difference. It wasn't Saul's armor. It wasn't Saul's sword. It was David's own experience that he took with him to the battle. So the principal teaching today is, when you're facing giants, what are your 5 stones? What do you reach into that pouch for, that back pocket, to say, okay, here we go, David. Here we go, Goliath. I'm going to take this out. All right, so I'm going to give you some suggestions of what these 5 stones should be. But again, each one is going to be personal. What are giants? We must understand that, first of all, we all have them. Okay, they're spiritual giants. We're not in a playground per se. We are in a spiritual battle. And so we all have these giants, and these giants are stronger than us. They're faster than us. They have more skill than us. And we feel so small and insignificant and timid and hopeless in facing these giants. Maybe you're going through some kind of a relational issue and you're like, I just can't seem to get a break. Maybe the enemy is using a loved one to constantly attack you and you're like, I just can't seem to get a break. I'm weak, I'm tired, I'm failing. Maybe it's a job that you just can't seem. You can't seem to keep a job, or you can't seem to break that addiction, or you can't seem to stop sinning. These are all giants that the enemy is using us to discourage us, to take us out of our witness, to take us out of fellowship, to question our faith, to keep us out of the spiritual battle ourselves. So the 5 stones, what are they? And if you have a piece of paper, you can write these down. I would encourage that, because these are the things you guys want to develop. And we're going to make them personal for you. Like I said, I'm not trying to put my armor onto you. I'm just using by principle, the way of example, that David picked up his 5 stones. I'm going to give you 5 stones, and you're going to personally attach things to these stones that you're going to use to fight these battles. Okay, the first one is absolutely the Word of God. The Word of God is the first stone. The second one is prayer. The third one is faith. Then you've got fellowship, and you got serving. Okay, these are the five stones: the Word of God, prayer, faith, fellowship, and serving. Let's break these down one at a time, and I'll show you how you can personally apply these. So the first one, the Word of God. We know that in Matthew 14, verses 1 through 11, when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was being tempted by the devil, he used the Word of God to face that giant. Okay, again, we don't want to get into big big debates on, well, Satan's not a giant to God. It's a principle teaching, guys. Okay, so please understand that. Obviously, Satan is nothing. He was created by God. God is obviously bigger than Satan. But at that time, Satan was Jesus's giant, and he was being tempted. And so what did Jesus use for that first stone? He used the Word of God. So many times in life, when these giants seem impossible to conquer, we hang on to God's Word, specifically his promises. We have great tools these days with the internet, but back before all that, you would have a little book, and it would be called a God's Promises book, and it's a topical index of all of God's promises. And, you know, maybe you're going through, a time of fear. And so you look up fear, and it would give you a whole bunch of verses just on how to offset fear. And so that same kind of principle can apply here. You got the internet, you can look it up. But here's what I'm going to tell you to do. We need to start hiding God's Word in our heart, because, you know, you may not always have the availability to do an internet search or to look up that book. Okay, we need to hide it in his heart. So this is where scripture memory comes in. And listen, I'm not saying you got to memorize the whole entire Bible, but pick a couple verses that work for you, that just really connect with you. Remember, these are your stones. Okay, these are your stones. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Perhaps that's one verse for you. You can remember that verse. And then when you're in that time and you start to shrink in fear because of the giant in front of you, you just quote that verse in your heart. Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's another verse. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raises Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There's so many verses. So what I want you to do is I want you to find those verses and you know, don't think you have to go through this huge search. What's a verse that resonates? The Lord is my shepherd, right? Leads me to still waters. I mean, whatever it may be for you, maybe it's a verse that you're very familiar with. Does it even have to be in context of fear? No, maybe it's John 3:16, right? So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so maybe when you're facing that enemy, you're like, you know what? I'm so important to God that he loved me so much that he gave me his son for me. And that right there is just when your soul melts from heaviness, strengthen me according to your word. So the first stone that you need to have in your back pocket is the Word of God. Philippians 4:12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So, the word of God, your first stone. Attach a verse to it. And when you're being attacked, you start quoting that verse in your heart. You start meditating on it. You start thinking about it. Say it out loud, whatever it takes. The second one is prayer. In Ephesians 6:12, we read about the spiritual armor of God. The spiritual armor. Remember, these giants, they're spiritual giants. Even in, we're told in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities. And we've been talking the past few weeks, especially a few Wednesdays ago, that the enemy wants to destroy your witness. And he'll use your spouses, your children, your friends, whatever it is, to come against you. Okay? Not that he possesses them. Again, this is a principle teaching. There is no demon possession with the believer, but we are influenced, right? When that flesh rises up and we give way to the flesh, then we become a tool of the enemy. And so he wants to discourage us. He wants to utilize people to take away our witness, to knock us out of service. And so when, as soon as we see that happening, we recognize it and we go into prayer. We go into prayer. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So, got to remember, we are in the battle. And how do we send a rock towards that giant's head? Through prayer. Through prayer. And maybe you need to pray through the spiritual armor. That's one way. You know, you start to kind of memorize the spiritual armor and you say, you know what? In my prayer, Lord, I put on I gird myself with the belt of truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the gospel, with the peace. I take my shield of faith. I put on my helmet of salvation. And I take the sword of the Spirit. And you pray for these things. And you ask the Lord to form that hedge of protection. But we got to remember something, especially in spiritual battles and when it comes to prayer. When we pray to God, Lord, deliver me from this. And the Lord does not deliver us from this. Does it mean that he's not listening? Sometimes that in itself shakes people's faith. Lord, take this illness away. Deliver this oppression from our house. Lord, heal our relationship. Take this temptation, all these things that we do, that we struggle with. And the Lord says, you know, no. That doesn't mean he doesn't answer it. I mean, he answered it. He said no. And so then we got to understand, okay, Lord, I know. And I pray your grace is sufficient for unto the day. Just even that act of prayer is standing firm, is shooting those darts back at the enemy. Okay, again, it's a stone. It's a stone along with, coupled with the word of God, that prayer. And Lord, say, I'm going through this trial. I'm reminded of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They were thrown in the furnace. You didn't deliver them from the furnace. You protected them while they were there, and you were in with them. Okay? So these are the things that we do. So your second stone is prayer. Third stone is faith. Faith is huge. So we briefly mentioned Caleb. Caleb is one of the two spies that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were told, we're going to give you the promised land, they went in and they spied out the land, okay? And they came back with a report, and guess what they said? There's giants in the land, okay? So they're facing some giants. And so Caleb's like, let's go. Joshua's like, let's go. No big deal. Remember what God did to us? Remember the miracles in the desert? He fed us. He took care of us. He opened the sea. I mean, these are some incredible. Remember the plagues back in Egypt? Remember the miracles that he did on our behalf? This is nothing. Let's go in. Let's take the land. And everybody but these two were afraid. They had no faith. They had no faith. And it says, because of that, they were made to wander in the wilderness until that entire generation, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, died. And now we're talking, these guys are in their late 80s, 90s years old, and they're like, let's go. We're just as if we're ready to go, just like when we were 40 years ago. They had incredible faith. You see, they understood that the battle wasn't theirs. And guys, that's the key with faith. When you're lacking faith, you are forgetting that the battle is the Lord's and not yours. When we put the pressure on us, when we say, I've got to deal with it, I've got to take this on, then the doubts come in. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm strong enough. I don't know if I'm spiritual enough. I'm not a big, strong Christian. Sometimes I do doubt. And then you lose your faith. You see, real faith is the belief that the strength and the power and the ability comes from God, not you. That's the key, right? That's the key. It's not how strong you are, but it's faith in how strong God is. Yeah, if we all look inward, we all fail. We all have moments of lapse of fear, a lack of faith, sin. We fail into temptation, all these things. But then when we look back in our lives, then we see how God has carried us through, just like with Caleb and Joshua. You see, they remembered. Faith isn't something that we just have to conjure up. Faith is something that we can look back on our lives and go, you know what? There's God right there. Remember that time we were hungry and he fed us from heaven? Remember we were standing against that sea and he opened it up? You see, that's where faith came from Caleb and Joshua. They remembered. And so these giants were nothing to them. These giants were standing in the way of the promises of God. And by the way, that's what all giants do. They stand in your way from the promise of God. His promise for you. He wants you to have that rich, full, faithful life that continues to grow. He wants you to be a strong Christian. And these giants say, no, we'll have none of that. And so we're going to steal, kill, and destroy everything we can to take that away. And you sit back and you go, well, it's not about what I did, but it's about what he has done in my life. And he was faithful then and he'll be faithful now. So your third stone, the faith stone, it's like the Avengers, right? The Infinity Stones. So your third stone, the faith stone, when you're standing in front of that giant questioning, you reach in that pocket and you go, hey, I remember. And this is personal. Because I would challenge any and everybody to say, reach back into your life and tell me there was a time where God was not there or he did not show up. And you go, oh yeah, there's this time. And there was that time. And there was this event. And then there was this thing and that thing and that thing. And all of a sudden, what happens? Your faith starts to build. First stone, the word of God. Second stone, prayer. Third stone, faith. God promise it, and that's good enough. All right, moving on now. we reach back into that pouch and we find our fourth stone, fellowship. This is important. When you're facing a giant, it's important to have someone to stand alongside you. Think about this. Every single one of our military branches always sends people into battle in pairs. An airman has a wingman. A ranger has a ranger buddy. In the army, we had our foxhole buddies. You always have someone alongside you to face that battle. Even in the Bible, right? Paul, he was with Silas for a while. He was with Barnabas for a while. He was with Timothy. But he always had that one person there by his side. Even Peter and John went out together. And so Jesus sent them out two by two. And so when you're facing your giant, who's your battle buddy? Who can come alongside you and say, we've got this. I'm here for you. This is so important. This is why church is so important, to develop those relationships. And, you know, does it mean you have to have one, you know, best friend, if you will, that you always lean on to? Well, maybe. But it's important to have multitude of people. Two or three battle buddies that when you're facing that giant, they can come alongside you. In Exodus 17, chapter 12, Moses, he was in a battle. And as long as he had his hands up, they were winning. And as soon as his hands would drop down, they would start to lose. And so this picture of, you know, how long could you hold your hands up? How long can you fight this battle by yourself? Everybody gets tired. Everybody gets weary. Everybody needs help. I don't care who you are. And so we had a couple people come alongside him, Aaron and Hearn, held his arms up. They put a rock so he could sit down, and they held his arms up. So fellowship is your fourth stone when you're facing that giant. Who can you reach out to? Who can you say, hey, the battle's raging on. I need help. Stand alongside me and pray. First stone, the word of God. Then prayer. Then you got the faith. Then you got fellowship. Next one, the last one, sounds kind of opposite of what we need when we're facing giants, but it's serving. A lot of times when we get into that battle, and rightfully so, when we get into the battles, all of that looking becomes inward. And we get this attitude of, gosh, woe is me. I'm going through this battle. And we can become self-centered in our afflictions. Now, that's important to understand. I mean, hey, when you're in the fight, you know, and you're taking blows and you're covering because there's, you know, shots being taken at you. Yeah, I need to look out for me. But one of the best rocks that you can shoot at that giant is to say, I'm going to go serve. I'm going to stop that inward focus. And I'm going to go out and do the will of God. Now, what does serving look like? Well, serving can look like going to help somebody. That's the obvious one. Serving can maybe in your battle, in the heat of your battle, you're taking blows, you're taking shots, and you pick up the phone and you reach out to someone and say, hey, how are you doing? Maybe I want to come and I'm going to hold your arms up. I'm taking shots. I'm in the battle myself, but I'm going to come serve. A lot of times in ministry, when you're teaching, you know, Bible study or worship team or prayer ministry or whatever it is, from the outside, it looks like we don't have any problems because we're doing exactly that. when those battles are coming and those giants are stomping down the path towards us, we're like, you know what? We're gonna go serve. And that is a rock of fire back at that enemy. Maybe it's you pray for other people. We get so consumed when the trials and the fights are at us, and we forget about everyone else. What does that do to you? Well, if the enemy keeps sending giant after giant after giant after giant, then you live a life of self-consumption. And you forget about everybody else. And then you become that island Christian where you just stay in your house and your whole life is woe is me. And you start to grow resentment towards others. How do you fix that? You serve. Philippians 3:10. I know him. To know him more through the fellowship of suffering. All these things that we use to continue to face those giants and to win that battle. I'm sure you know a few Christians that they're always under attack. And whenever you talk to them, that's all they have to say. It's all about how bad their life is, how miserable their life is. That person needs to pick up that stone of serving and fire it right back at the enemy. And you'll know God in a different way. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, in the midst of his suffering, what did he say? He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's praying. He's serving his persecutors. He's serving those who drove those nails into his hand as he asked the Father to forgive them. That's a great example. So, we all have these giants in our lives. Whatever they are, they're all personal. The enemy attacks us. What do? You go down to that stream and you pick out 5 smooth stones. That's your challenge for today, guys. Write these stones down. Figure out how they can work for you. What's the word of God that you go to? What's your go-to verses? What is it? Pick one. What prayer do you go to? What faith reference do you go to? Can you remember back? What fellowship, what friendships do you have that you know that they'll lift your hands up? And by the way, that swings both ways. You got to hold somebody else's hands up too. That kind of ties back to serving. So you can serve somebody by holding someone's hands up while they're facing their giants. So today, with this message, principle teaching message, it's something that I think we can all apply to our lives right now, because I know throughout our church, there's many giants in front of you. Here's how you battle them. Lord, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the technology that even though we're getting a snowstorm and it's unsafe to travel, we can still gather together in church and study your word and serve you. And look into your principles and apply them into our lives so that we are strong, faithful, courageous warriors for you. And we're not defeated, for you have equipped us. In reality, when we go down to that creek to pick up those 5 stones, we think that they're ours, but you've placed them there for us. You've put them there for us to pick up and to use. And that's a miraculous thing in itself. That not only did you create the stones, but you made them and you planted them. And when we pick them up and we fire them off, they will do incredible things. Lord, bless our church. Continue to keep us safe. Form those hedges of protections around us, Lord. And we ask all these things for the glory of God and in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Hopefully the snow will disappear before Revelation on Wednesday. We shall see.